The commitments keep on coming in. Just a day ago, the Buckeyes got a commitment from a four-star quarterback from the state of Georgia. We will discuss that at the top of today's show. But then we'll also be joined by Jake Madison. He is the host of Locked On Pelicans, as he helps us learn about how the Pelicans plan to use E.J. Liddell as Liddell begins his career in the National Basketball Association. You can hear this conversation only right here on Locked On Buckeyes.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jake Stevens, also the host of the Jake Stevens Podcast. It is Tuesday, June 28th in the year 2022, and today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. I would also like to thank you for making Locked On Buckeyes your first listen or first watch of every single day. On today's episode, we will be joined by Mr. Jake Madison. He is the host of Locked On Pelicans, as he helps us learn about how the Pelicans plan to use Liddell as Liddell begins his career as a professional basketball player. But first, the commitments keep on coming in. And this one is not on the offensive side of the ball, but on the defensive side of the ball, as four-star cornerback Kion Lee recently announced that he is committed to play football at the Ohio State University. Kion Lee, 5'11", 185 pounds, from Ellenwood, Georgia, Cedar Grove High School. According to 247 Sports, their composite rankings, he is the 18th ranked corner in the country and the 13th ranked prospect in the state of Georgia. One of the most interesting things about this young man is that he was formerly committed to the University of Georgia. He committed to Georgia on September 29th, 2021. He decommitted from Georgia on February 22nd, 2022. And as John Garcia Jr. says so often, he says it probably almost every episode, once these athletes are committed to a school, they end up still being recruited by other schools. And that's the case with Mr. Kion Lee. You're not done being committed. We even recently heard that Noah Rogers, after he committed to Ohio State, a coach from Michigan reached out to him and tried to get him and see how committed he was, see if there's anything that he could do to get Noah Rogers to decommit to go to Michigan. And what did Noah Rogers do in response? He said, "Go Bucks." These are things that are normal. These are the things that are expected on the recruiting trail. Yes, verbal commitments are simply that, they're verbal. Until you sign on the dotted line, and even in some cases, you don't have to sign a national letter of intent, you are going to be looked at as someone that can be pulled from or poked from where you are currently at and where you're currently going to, or your plans are, to play football at the next level. Kion Lee, he is physical. And I've seen some clips on the YouTube. I've seen some clips on the Twitter, on the socials. And this young man, he is a physical corner. Now, before his junior year, he did clock in at 160 pounds. I did see at a website, he is at 185, which means he is upping his weight. He is growing into his body. And if you're gaining 25 pounds, buddy, hopefully all that's muscle. Hopefully you're utilizing that on the field in the right way. He's a physical corner. He's physical enough to play the boundary, but he is fluid enough to play the field. So it all depends on what suits him best at Ohio State, assuming he still stays committed to Ohio State. He does not decommit, but you could see someone that could play either side, either boundary or the field as a corner. But you might see the best spot for him either as a boundary corner or as a nickel corner due to his physicality. Nickel closer to the line of scrimmage. Think about Tanner McAllister, but where he's going to play in the upcoming year. Think about Sean Wade from would have been a couple seasons ago. You would have seen Sean Wade play closer to the line of scrimmage, be more physical, and that was a better spot for him, I do believe, or is, on the football field. Now, I have seen some places say that Kion Lee and his speed is not the best. I have seen that. I've also read that he has clocked in at a 40 of 4.4 seconds numerous times. So I'm starting to wonder, how does he utilize his speed? Does he have the speed and just not know how to tap into it on the field? Is it more track speed versus football field speed and game speed? Which one is it? We'll have John Garcia Jr. on here very soon and this week, and we'll be able to discuss with him about the speed that I'm reading that it's there, but how does he utilize that on the field? This is one of those things where I'm looking at it and I'm saying, we're getting all enamored. We're all getting so excited about the receivers at Ohio State and how they're all committing, and you get three in 1 week that commit to the Buckeyes, but we can't lose sight that Ohio State has needs all over the field. Receivers, they're talented that are at Ohio State. They're talented, those that are in the recruiting class. But Ohio State still needs guys on the interior offensive line, offensive line in general, defensive line in general. You need more guys there, linebackers and defensive backs, quarterbacks. I mean, they need to fill holes in the recruiting, and this young man does do that. Kion Lee joins three other defensive backs in the class of 2023 Ohio State's recruiting class for 2023. Dijon Johnson is a corner, two safeties, Malik Hartford, and then Cedric Hawkins. Both of those last two are safeties, and Mr. Lee joins that group. This also puts Ohio State at the top of the team recruiting rankings for the class of 2023, 5-1. 5 is Clemson, 4 is Penn State, 3 is Texas, 2 is Notre Dame, 1 is Ohio State. One of the most interesting things, when you look at the top, Notre Dame has 15 commits. Ohio State has 14. Texas has 15. Penn State has 15. Clemson has 14. That just shows something about how Ohio State is recruiting right now, and these really talented guys are wanting to come to Columbus for very specific reasons. Oh, what about some other schools that you may think might be highly on the recruiting trail right now? Bama is number 20 in the recruiting rankings right now. USC, number 12, Lincoln Riley, I do think will climb up the charts. And then Georgia, the school that Kion Lee was formerly committed to, is number 7. I'm excited to have Kion Lee in the fold, and I'm also excited to have John Garcia Jr. on the show later this week to discuss more about this young man. Coming up next, Jake Madison, the host of Locked On Pelicans, will join us to help us learn about what we can expect from Liddell during his rookie year in the NBA. You don't want to miss it. This is Locked On Buckeyes. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs and Major League Baseball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. Bet online, where the game starts. Draft recap is always fun because we get to discuss former Buckeyes and how they're going to be playing in the National Basketball Association. And it also gives me a chance to meet different hosts that are part of the Locked On NBA family. Last week, we got to talk to Jeff Garcia of Locked On Spurs. Today is Jake Madison of Locked On Pelicans, where the Pelicans drafted EJ Liddell with the 41st pick in the NBA draft. Jake, welcome to Locked On Buckeyes.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Happy to be talking some hoops here.
I am too. I love basketball. It's always been a passion of mine, and I have always enjoyed watching EJ Liddell play basketball. Before we get into breaking down how he's going to play and how the Pelicans are planning to use him, what was your initial reaction when you saw that the Pelicans took him in the second round with the 41st pick?
It was a huge surprise, and I talked about this on Locked On Pelicans on my Monday show of, like, I don't even think the Pelicans saw this coming. You know, this is the team didn't work him out pre-draft because his camp said he's not going to be there available in the second round for you guys. You're not going to draft him at 8. So all of a sudden they were presented with this opportunity to take him, and they basically had to. The Pels said they had a first round grade on him. I had him as my 19th best prospect in this draft, and they got him at 41. So it was a huge surprise. and one of those just kind of good things for New Orleans. I'll be honest. I thought the Lakers, when they bought that pick from, I think it was Orlando or someone, 35th overall, they bought one of the second round picks. I thought they were trying to get him. I thought he was going to go there at the latest. And then when he kept falling, only a good thing for New Orleans to get, you know, potential other steal in the second round now.
Why do you think he fell to the second round?
It's a great question. One I'm still kind of trying to figure out a little bit from talking to people around the league. You know, first and foremost, you have the issue of age. He's a junior. He'll be 22 during his rookie year. That's like ancient for an NBA rookie, whether that's fair or unfair, even though it's like they're actually still young and they still do have room to grow. But I think that scared teams off a little bit too. And I think kind of that lack of lateral quickness, lateral movement. You know, he's a very good jumper. He had one of the highest standing jumps at the NBA combine, if not the highest this year, right? He's a good athlete, good shot blocker, 2.6 per game. But I think people worry about his lateral movement a little bit and being able to keep up with some of the quicker guards in the league on switches, things like that. That might have caused him to drop a little bit. But when you look at him, he's a pretty complete player who was productive. So I'm still as shocked as anyone that he was available at 41.
Jake, I'm a person that I don't try to fall into the trap, as I call it, we're saying a player that's been in college for 3 or 4 or 5, maybe 6, maybe 7, with the way things are going now in college with the extra year of COVID eligibility. I don't want to look at a person and say, well, just because they've been in for 3 or 4 years that they are kind of, they're wasted. Like they can't get better. They can't improve. I never try to adopt that belief, but some people do. GMs and executives believe if you're 1 or 2 years in college, you're a better prospect than someone that's played 3 or 4 years. And honestly, I think that the trend won't go back to where it used to be, but you might see more guys go back to the old ideology saying, you've played 3 years. We know what you're going to do. We've seen you get better, and you're not just wasted. You have a lot of more good basketball to play. And so him being in for 3 years, to me, that's not really a downside to him. It could be a luxury because he's seen a lot of basketball and he's seen a lot of different things thrown his way as a leader of the Buckeyes.
Yeah, you know, right. It's a kind of the lazy trope of things. You know, a freshman or a sophomore, anyone like 18 or 19, hasn't reached their full potential yet, even if they weren't good. So you want to draft those guys and kind of mold them into the players that you want. And who knows if they hit that, you know, it's the high ceiling kind of concept. And then a guy at 3 or 4 years, a junior or a senior, even if they're good, right, averaging almost 20 points per game, like Liddell here does, it's, oh, they've reached their max potential. There's no more room to grow. They're a year older than some of these guys. They're 2 years older. That's not true at all. So once you see kind of players being productive in college, it's almost like a knock against them. And you're seeing a bit of a trend, and the Memphis Grizzlies are really good at this, of just drafting good basketball players, just solid dudes that might have played 4 years. So they're going to hit their prime a little bit sooner. Maybe they don't have as high of a ceiling as some of those other guys, but you got to use them to win basketball games. You know, Herb Jones for the Pelicans last year was a steal in the second round at 35th, 34th overall. I forget the exact number. And he was massively productive, and people knocked him because he was a four-year guy. You know, I think they didn't want to overthink this pick. You have E.J. Liddell, who's there at 41, who they said they had a first-round grade on. You got to draft him. Get him in. And now the problem is they don't have a roster spot for him just yet, but I'm sure they're going to work on trying to clear that up because he's a good player. And you mentioned, you know, being productive in college, he's seen a lot of things, right? He tested the NBA waters last season when people were saying, go, you're young now. They'll still want to draft you right now. But he was a borderline first round pick then. He went back to Ohio State. And one thing I noticed watching the film from his junior to his senior year, sophomore to his junior year, is they used him more at the four his junior year. They put him in more spots that he'll play in the NBA. I don't fully see him as a big time, you know, minutes getter as a small ball five. So they put him in positions to succeed at Ohio State that he would succeed in and play in at the NBA level. With 3 years of growth of his three-point shot improving, showing all of that, that's a good enough track record that you feel comfortable about that guy at least contributing at the NBA level.
I think that, as you say, that him being more of a four guy last year for Ohio State, I even think last year being someone that was being thrust into a bigger leadership role due to an injury at Ohio State, due to your second best player only playing one game because of an abdominal injury that kept him out for the entire year. Liddell was like, okay, well, I know I'm the leader, but now I have to have a bigger role. I have to help potentially a freshman be a bigger scorer on the team. And Liddell was taking different things on, not just basketball-wise and skill set-wise, but also leadership-wise, that could really help him be a bigger asset for the Pelicans in year one.
Yeah, you want those guys to be mature, right? And to kind of, in a sense, you know, again, to use cliches, right? To have like a chip on his shoulder, and he certainly has that, right? And he can be thrown in different situations and clearly adapt to that. And that's one of, I think, the biggest things that they like about that. The Pelicans being a small market team, really having, they developed a really strong kind of locker room team culture this past year, want to add to that and don't want to bring in people that potentially detract from that. And the fact that they drafted EJ Liddell says a lot about his character. You even saw it kind of from his comments on draft night too, right? Like, he's worked really hard to get here, done anything the coaches have asked, you know, picked up the slack where it needs to be and kind of comes in with that hunger. You know, there's some dog in him, right? With a high motor. And I think they really like that kind of, those like off-court aspects about him, right? The mental aspects to him, I think they really are really high on. It jumps off the page when you watch him play. You really, really see that from him. And I think he's going to fit well in New Orleans because of those attributes that he brings.
We are here with Jake Madison. He is the host of Locked On Pelicans. This is Locked On Buckeyes. Jake, you mentioned that there is a roster spot that would have to be opened up for him to be there. Do you think the Pelicans opened up a spot for Liddell to be on the everyday roster?
Yeah, I think so. So I talked about this on my Monday show. Like, it's a good problem to have. This was unexpected. I was kind of expecting them to either sell this pick or trade it away and not make a decision with this because they didn't have a roster spot to host a guy on there. Well, when you get a guy that you think is a first-round prospect with a second-round pick, you probably need to kind of create some room. So they already have 15 guys on their team when you factor in Dyson Daniels, who they drafted at eighth overall. That's the maximum amount you can have. You have two-way players. You have two-way guys. But I don't think he would take that sort of deal. He's certainly not going to take a non-guaranteed deal either. So I think they're going to look to kind of shake up the bottom end of their roster to create some space to bring EJ Liddell in and keep him. And I think they'll look to potentially give him a guaranteed contract along the lines of what they did Herb Jones last year, which is about $3 million, maybe about $1.5 million per season with the first year guaranteed. Then it's just kind of team options on the second two and third year. I think they want to do that. I think this is a guy that fits really well and gives them some insurance on some of the players they might be losing just in the future in general. And you see some shades of Larry Nance Jr. in him. And that's the guy that's already on the team playing a bit of a, you know, kind of hybrid four, small ball five for New Orleans, which I'm sure they'll look for EJ Liddell to do. And the fact that he's a 3-point shooting big, and he needs to work on that, I think, in terms of consistency. When you have Zion Williamson here, you need more shooters around him and a stretch big, which is what Liddell can do while also playing and defending out on the perimeter. That's like ideal in the modern NBA right now, let alone with his good wingspan of 7 feet, so he can guard up positions to potentially guard fives too. I think when he kind of brings that skill set and they ranked him that highly, like, they'll create a roster spot. Guy like Jackson Hayes might be gone. You know, maybe someone like Devontae Graham, Garrett Temple, something along those lines. They're going to look to kind of do an uneven trade where they send out two or three guys and bring one or two back to create a roster spot for Liddell. And I expect him to be on the team next season, like, properly.
What strength of Liddell's do you – now, you watch – I remember you said you watched film leading up to the draft, had a visit, your 19th best prospect. What strength, when you were watching the film, did you see that you think the Pelicans will tap into as the next season begins?
You know, it's really the defense and kind of the versatility he brings. That's kind of in vogue in the NBA right now, right? You want guys that aren't just kind of slotted into one spot. You need to be able to guard multiple positions. And particularly if you're a big man, you need to be able to guard out on the perimeter. And he definitely does that. You know, this is a guy that's comfortable switching onto guards who are trying to drive on him from the perimeter. And while he doesn't have that elite side-to-side athleticism, it's still good enough to stay on those guys for spells here and there. And so I think when you look at this team, you know, and injuries are going to creep up in any NBA roster eventually, they feel comfortable plugging him into a variety of roles. You know, if you need him to play some backup four, he can do that. If you need him in an emergency to play a small ball five role, he can do that. And your defense probably just doesn't fall off a complete cliff. And I think that's really important to New Orleans. And if he can be somewhat consistent with that 3-point shot, I think he's going to be able to see minutes earlier on than people are expecting for him. But the good news is they can bring him along slowly. I don't think he'll get minutes, you know, at the beginning of the season. I think he's going to be buried on the bench. I would not be shocked if you see him playing for their G League affiliate over in Birmingham to start the year and for potentially the majority of the year. But this is someone I think they feel fits into their culture, fits into the team, is an eventual replacement probably for Larry Nance Jr. And you can bring him and develop him slowly. You don't need to thrust him into the spotlight where maybe it's a little bit overwhelming. I think that's going to be a really good thing for him.
That G League is something that is a great tool for NBA teams, being able to have a guy be on contract, but also being able to have him be on that G League team to simply allow him to get some run when maybe he would not get any run at all. Because you're looking at an 82-game season, Liddell might only play, I'm just ballparking, I have no idea, 15 to 20 games. If he's on the regular roster, it's probably going to be mop-up duty. You're not going to get any like assistant time with the starters or the regular rotation guys off the bench because, well, you're just not that high up the roster just yet. But that G League is going to be an amazing thing for Liddell because he can come in and not sit the bench, not ride and not rust. He'll be able to get some run, get his legs used to that type of speed, that type of physicality, which is different than college. So I'm looking forward to seeing not only how he plays with the Pelicans, but also how he grows with the G League team that he's possibly going to play on as well.
Yeah, and what they're going to end up doing when they send him there eventually is they also send like a development coach with him. So he's going to kind of have a specific coach with him that's like working on the plan that the front office and the Pelicans coaching staff sets forward. So it's not like he goes to Birmingham where their G League affiliate is, and it's just kind of like playing there and doing whatever it is they do. Both those organizations are very much in lockstep, as Pelicans Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations David Griffin likes to say. And so it's really going to kind of develop him in the way that they want, that they see him kind of functioning at the NBA level. And then the biggest thing, right, like, as you mentioned, just get some run, go out and play and kind of work through some of those mistakes, right? He's going to make mistakes as a rookie. It's better to do that in the G League than it is on an NBA floor when your head coach sees that. It's like, not again. And then you get buried on the bench and don't play. But also really important for him, too, is going to be the practices he gets with this team. He's going to have to go up against Zion Williamson defensively, one-on-one in practices, right? That's going to make you better sooner rather than later, practicing against these NBA guys and then being able to use what you learn in those practices in, you know, a limited situation in the G League. And I think that's going to be really good for him overall. So I feel the Pelicans are very, very excited about him. I was very excited when they drafted him, again, having him 19th on my big board. Just an unexpected thing that creates some problems for New Orleans with the roster spots, but not ones that they won't figure out, because I think you've got to keep this guy on the roster.
Jake, what are some last comments you have about Liddell being drafted by the Pelicans?
No, I think it's a great spot for him. You know, I think this is probably one of the better things that could have happened for him. I'm sure it's not exactly what he wanted. Wanted more of that, you know, first round guaranteed money. Everyone wants to go higher in the draft, but he comes to a team that's proven they can develop guys out of the second round, right? Herb Jones out of Alabama last year was a rookie revelation for the team. And he played well enough that he started like 70 plus games for this team as a second round pick. So if Liddell comes in, works hard, and I don't think there's any question about that, and shows off the necessary skills that's going to make him thrive in the NBA, he'll get minutes sooner rather than later. This is not an organization that's going to just put you on the bench if you're proving it in practice and you're actually one of the better players just because you're a rookie. And so because of that, I think he could be in a really good position to earn his, you know, more money on his next contract in the future. And it's much better than going to a team that would have drafted him at 25, 26, 27, where he would just completely be buried on the bench and not playing whatsoever, because he comes to a team that I think is a little bit more equitable when it comes to those sorts of things. So I think the Pelicans are high on him. I'm high on him. I can tell you Pelicans fans are thrilled that they drafted him, almost more so than Dyson Daniels in the first round. Whenever you can get value like that, people get really excited. So I think he's in a good position to be able to succeed and have a nice NBA career.
Jake, this has been fun. Hopefully we can talk to you down the road, get some more updates about Liddell and his play in the NBA. If you could, let everyone know that's not watching on YouTube where they can follow you on Twitter and also where they can catch Locked On Pelicans every day as well.
Yeah, of course, you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Nola Jake. And on YouTube, it's just search Locked On Pelicans. It's there Monday through Friday. I got the EJ Liddell up on Monday. So it's a lot of fun right now talking all things Pelicans draft and now one of the next members of the team.
And guys, you can follow me on Twitter at jsteven07. I am glad we got to get some extensive conversations here on the podcast with guys from the Locked On NBA family about what former Buckeyes will do now that they're in the NBA. Jake today, last week it was Jeff Garcia. Everything that's there is on YouTube. I've actually taken that clip and put it right on YouTube itself. So if you want to get some basketball-centered conversation about former Buckeyes, go to YouTube. You'll find it right there. I'm out of here on this Tuesday, guys. Have a great day.